Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nielsen, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast. Welcome to Utopia.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is a Friday morning, Week 18 preview edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Weekdays is where you can find us on the Odyssey app, on the radio, on YouTube, on Twitch. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Off to a great start in 2025 and looking forward to big things this year, both on the radio show, here on the podcast, and then obviously with the Houston Texans. Fingers crossed. We'll see. Obviously, a lot they got to get turned around in a short amount of time with the playoffs on top of us here. But we've got a Titans game this Sunday to preview. This will be one of the stranger previews we've had to do this year because we have no idea how the teams are really approaching it. We have a general idea, but not a specific idea as to how both teams are approaching this. Most importantly, how the Texans are approaching it. The Titans, they've got no reason to approach it any other way than just balls to the wall because they're done after this game. Plus, they seem to hate the Texans. They posted their annual Oil Derrick logo on their social media. That's their new profile pic. Ooh, real scared. This is basically a football game disguised as an Amy Adams Strunk cosplay party where everybody gets to play the Oilers on their side. And hopefully for the sake of Brian Callahan, she doesn't make him sport the Bum Phillips look like last time. Not that I think it's a bad look. I just think it's a little disrespectful to make people dress up like an icon like Bum Phillips unless they want to do it. Mike Vrabel looked like a hostage in a propaganda video last year wearing it. That was my observation. So plenty of vitriol surrounding this game already. The two sides hate each other. Ownership doesn't seem super fond of each other. And the big thing is the Texans do not want to get swept, I don't think. So I think this is going to be a combination of practicality, but also competitiveness. So we'll see where that ends up. We'll do the six-pack preview in just a second of this game. The only news we need to get to with the Texans on the podcast here is that the Pro Bowl rosters have been announced. And I'm not surprised by the number of Texans that got into the Pro Bowl. I think we may have discussed this in a mailbag episode or a previous episode. I know that we talked about it on Payne and Pendergast, and I put the number at 3.5 as to the number of Texans that I thought would get into the Pro Bowl. However, the makeup of who is in, and I think the alternates too that the Texans got, because they got four players in, which doesn't surprise me. I predicted 3 or 4, hence the 3.5 total I put out there. And they got 6 alternates, which is a lot more than some teams, not as much as others. You know, the most alternates that you see for a team, the really good teams have like 8 or 10 alternates. The Texans have 6. including their two specialists, Kymie Fairbairn and Tommy Townsend. Tommy, the first alternate at punter in the AFC. Kymie Fairbairn, the fourth. I was a little surprised about that. Fourth alternate at kicker in the AFC. That there were four kickers in the AFC determined by the combined vote of the fans, the players, and the coaches. That there were that many that were better than Kymie Fairbairn without knowing and seeing the list. That blindly, that surprises me just based on how noteworthy some of Kymie's accomplishments were at the beginning of the year when he was kicking all those 50-plus yard field goals. The second half has been definitely more of a struggle for Kymie Fairbairn, so I get that. But I was a little surprised he was that far down. But here are the four, if you missed it, here are the four players that were named to the actual Pro Bowl. Not alternates, they're in. And it's the Pro Bowl games, obviously. They don't play an actual football game anymore. They play, it's more like an out like a backyard barbecue, you know, three-legged races and potato sack races and things like that. Not actual potato sack races. The best part's the flag game at the end of the whole weekend. But I think it's pretty cool. It's fun. You can bet on it, which makes it fun to me. You know, if I can bet on it, then it may as well just be a real sport and a real event. The four Texans who made it, two starters, two reserves. The starters, no surprise with this one. Derek Stingley Jr., completely deserved. And I'll get into my overall observations on this in just a second. The other starter, a little surprising, only because, and maybe we're a little too close to the situation, Laremy Tunsil is starting at left tackle. And I was a little surprised by that only because Laremy had some very glaring, high-profile games early in the season where he was jumping off sides all the time. He was, and probably still is, leading the league in penalties. I thought that might torpedo his chances this year. Evidently not. Evidently he does enough when he's not committing penalties, he does enough to impress players and coaches. He wasn't even in the top 10 for tackles among fans, but the players and the coaches obviously still think very highly of Laremy Tunsil. My main issue with Tunsil is that he's a captain of this team. He doesn't give off a captain vibe to me at all. He's the leader of the offensive line. And when the offensive line that you're the leader of plays the way this one does, it's not a great reflection on you as a leader. But obviously there's a ton of actual just physical talent there that overrides many things when it comes to the Pro Bowl. So Tunsil a starter. And then the two reserves, I like seeing this, Nico Collins and Joe Mixon, two guys that missed a fair amount of time this year. But Joe Mixon was going to make it because of all those 100-yard games on the road he was having. He had some high-profile, very good games, obviously, this year, too. And the AFC running back position is a little light. It's Derrick Henry, who's way out in front of everybody else. And then it's Joe Mixon and Jonathan Taylor. And if you go look at the AFC, there aren't a ton of great running backs. So that Mixon made it, I thought it was really good. I thought he would make it. Nico, I'm a little surprised by just because he missed so much time. He missed 5.5 games. But granted, the other, 10.5 games that he had played before all this voting took place held a lot of water with people. I do think Nico is one of the top four wide receivers in the AFC. So this is an appropriate honor for him to get in there. It was an interesting group in the AFC because it was Ja'Marr Chase starting. No surprise there. Jerry Jeudy was the other starter named in the AFC, and he's had a really, really good year. It's kind of flown under the radar because he plays for Cleveland and they suck. But Jerry Jeudy, it's really kind of come together for him. That's been a really good pickup by Cleveland. It's too bad they don't have a quarterback that can take better advantage of it. And then Nico and then Zay Flowers made it too. And there's a really cool video circulating online of Zay Flowers finding out he made the Pro Bowl for the first time. And it's just really cool to see. If you find that, you can look for it out there. Put in Zay Flowers on Twitter. It'll be the first thing that pops up, I guarantee you. So those are the four that made the actual Pro Bowl games. The six alternates. And yeah, if you're going, where's Danielle Hunter? Where's Will Anderson Jr.? Yeah, I agree with you. Now, the three defensive ends who made it in the AFC are all really good, if not great players. Myles Garrett, defensive player of the year last year, if I'm not mistaken. Trey Hendrickson, who's leading, at least last I checked, leading the league in sacks. And then Max Crosby, who's a really good player, whose numbers don't match up to Danielle or Will's. I would have gotten Max Crosby out of there and put Danielle Hunter in there if it were me. But because Danielle's been amazing this year. Now, Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. are both they're the top alternates at that position. So if anybody bows out or if any of them go to a Super Bowl, I guess the only one that we would, well, no, I mean, we don't really have to worry about any of them going to a Super Bowl because they all play either on shitty teams or, in the case of Trey Hendrickson, a team that's unlikely to make the postseason. So they'd have to, you know, they need, one of them would need to back out if indeed Will or Daniil want to go to the Pro Bowl games. Will brings it up, though, as like that was like a time for him to recruit last year. He and CJ, I mean, they were out there chit-chatting with everybody. That's a big reason why, you know, Daniil Hunter, you know, chatted it up with them at the Pro Bowl last year. And I'm trying to remember if Diggs was there or Mixon. I'm trying to remember who all was there. But Will said like a lot of guys came up to him last year about wanting to be a Houston Texan. I wonder if it'll be the same this year. So they're first and second alternates at their position. Jimmy Ward is fourth alternate at safety. He's obviously not going to go. He's injured. He had surgery. He's done for the year. Maybe the biggest surprise is CJ Stroud, the second alternate at quarterback, which means you had your top three quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. And then CJ was the second one after them. I'm guessing Mahomes was the first alternate, which is wild to think that the best player of our generation is the first alternate in a year where his team is, what are they, 15-1 right now? First alternate. That shows you how stacked the AFC is at quarterback statistically. It's wild. But that CJ is the first guy after that. I'll call it the big four. You know, Allen, Burrow, Jackson, Mahomes. Like that's been the big four for a couple of years now. That CJ, largely fueled by the players and coaches, because if you remember, if you listen to Payne and Pendergast, CJ was not even in the top 10 of quarterbacks for voting, let alone players. Top 10 in quarterbacks. There were 10. Bo Nix was ahead of him. Sam Darnold was ahead of him. And all, like, you know, just, and Darnold ended up making it in the NFC. I just bring that up because it's wild to think this comeback Sam Darnold's had. But that just goes to show you the respect level that CJ Stroud still has amongst players and coaches. The voting is one third fans, one third players, one third coaches. The fans, obviously, CJ was an afterthought to them, at the very least outside of the top 10. The players and coaches fueled a rise in him in the voting that got him to where if two guys back out, he's back in the Pro Bowl again this year. And I think most Texan fans that I interact with or hear from on the show are disappointed in the season that CJ has had. I think CJ himself is probably a little disappointed in the season that he's had individually. But I do think it's very indicative that the educated minds in all this, that the players and coaches, his peers and the people that scout him on film, still see CJ Stroud as deserving of being at least on the fringe of that conversation at the top of the AFC. So I think that's noteworthy. I know it's just the Pro Bowl, but I think that is a noteworthy thing given the kind of tumultuous year that, in the eyes of many, CJ has had. Other quick observations on the Pro Bowl, then I'll get to the six pack, and then I got to go watch Notre Dame and Georgia. By the time you're listening to this, that game will be over. So, you know, we'll see. I'm predicting Notre Dame wins by, you know, like a field goal, low scoring game, first one to 20 wins, that kind of thing. You can laugh at me Friday morning, or you can say, Sean, you were so smart. But a couple other quick observations. Stingley, starting Pro Bowler, Sauce Gardner, an alternate. He didn't even make the game. So that argument will never be dead, probably. Sauce will probably have a year in the next couple of years that's better than Stingley. You never know. They're both great players. But right now, if it were a championship belt, Stingley would be holding it up over his head. If there were a Sauce versus Stingley championship belt, Stingley would be holding it up over his head right now. Number two, and I don't know if many people know this, Laremy Tunsil has now made as many Pro Bowls as a Texan. He hadn't made a Pro Bowl when he was with the Dolphins. When they traded for Laremy Tunsil, he was a zero-time Pro Bowler. This is Laremy Tunsil's fifth Pro Bowl. He now has as many Pro Bowls as J.J. Watt. That's a wild stat to me. And obviously, J.J.'s number of times making the Pro Bowl was minimized by injury. You know, going out week three of 2016, going out in week five of 2017, tearing a pectoral muscle in week eight, I think it was, of 2019. I can recite JJ's injury history chapter and verse. The seasons, and then in 2020 was the COVID year, and that whole thing sucked. The O'Brien getting fired year. But the years where JJ was fully healthy and on, you know, good Texan teams, he was a Pro Bowler. I shouldn't say that. 2013, that was a really shitty Texans team, but he made the Pro Bowl. So I say all that to say Laremy Tunsil, five-time Pro Bowler, is as up in arms as we all get about Laremy jumping off sides, false starts, and rightfully so. That's noteworthy. Laremy is two Pro Bowls away from tying Andre Johnson, which would be wild to me. Like if Laremy Tunsil 3 years from now is the player who has the most Pro Bowls in Texans history, I mean, I guess it's not that crazy just given the fact that it's a young franchise that hasn't had that many great players. But Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt are all-time greats. I don't think Laremy Tunsil is. I think he's very, very good. I think he thinks he's an all-time great. So that's crazy. Joe Mixon making only his second Pro Bowl in his career was a little wild to me, that this is only the second time he's been selected for the Pro Bowl. I think he came into the league in 2017, something like that. He made it back in 2021, which was the Bengals Super Bowl season. So this is only the second time for Mixon. I was a little surprised by that. And then my only other observation, I just think it was wild to me that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. were so high up in the fan voting. They were third and fourth at defensive end across the league in fan voting, not just the AFC, and they didn't even make the AFC Pro Bowl team. That's wild to me, you know. So just some little irregularities or craziness in the voting. But I'm a Pro Bowl voting nerd because these things matter when the Hall of Fame and stuff like that comes up. It certainly matters for Stingley. His fifth year option number just went up like by another $5 million. If his contract situation even makes it that far, he's going to get a big extension either this offseason or next offseason, assuming he stays healthy and keeps playing at this high level. And I have no reason to believe that the caliber of play will diminish. The injury thing is real. You know, this is the first fully healthy year that Stingley has had since his freshman year at LSU. So it's fair to wonder if this is an outlier, because technically it is. You know, he's had more years where he's had truncated bad injuries than he's had healthy seasons. All right, so a lot on the Pro Bowl there, but look, that's a happy thing with the Texans. We've had so much misery lately with with the Chiefs and especially the Ravens game. So let's celebrate a little bit. All right, let's get to the six pack, and this one will go quick because this is a game where I don't know how important the outcome is not important empirically or mathematically for the Texans. I think it's important from an optics standpoint. I think they do want to get to 10 wins. I think they do want to make sure they don't get swept by the Tennessee Titans. I think that at certain levels in the organization, I think that's very important. So let's get into it here. I'll give you my six pack. That will be five storylines for this game, along with my prediction for the game. First can is Deontay Johnson. How does Deontay Johnson get incorporated into this game? CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans were both asked this week about Deontay Johnson. I saw Bobby Slowick talking about it today as well in his press conference. It sounds like Deontay Johnson, at least from what they're telling us, is getting acclimated pretty quickly. They're excited about some of the things he can do. Is it as simple as you just plug him in and he's doing all the Tank Dell things because he's the one that has the skill set that most closely mirrors Tank Dell? Tank's injury, Nick Caserio basically implied, without saying it directly, that Tank's injury was the reason they claimed Deontay Johnson, which I think is interesting. That I think you could have argued that claiming Deontay Johnson might have made sense even if Tank Dell were still healthy. You know, the drop-off was still Nico, Tank, and then all the way down to this gaggle of Mechie, Woods, and Xavier Hutchinson. And while it started to look better against Kansas City with Tank in there, I think you could have argued that Deontay Johnson would have made sense to pick up even if Tank Dell were healthy. But that's neither here nor there now. Tank's not healthy. He's got a long road ahead of him. And this will be Deontay Johnson's first chance to not only make an impression on the Texans, but I think Deontay Johnson wants to make an impression that the league is going to see as well, so he can rehabilitate his image a little bit. Let's face it. He's Pittsburgh didn't want him anymore. Carolina didn't want him anymore. Baltimore sure as hell didn't want him anymore. They didn't even use him. At least those other two teams were using him. He got targeted five times in his half a season that he was a Baltimore Raven. Five. I'd like to see him get targeted five times in the first half on Sunday. So Deontay Johnson, that is can number one. How does he get deployed? How's the chemistry? How's the attitude? All of those things. If I had to guess, I would guess that Nico Collins is going to play very little in this game. So Deontay Johnson should get a chance to get some targets and do some things here. So we'll see how that goes. Can number two, offensive line play. The offensive line should play the whole fucking game. Why am I cursing? Because I don't like our offensive line the way they played this year. I like them. I'm sure they're swell fellas. But I, as a collective group whose task is to open up holes in the running game and protect CJ Stroud, they're a five-headed ball of things that I hate right now because they've not done a good job of that this year. So I'd like to see them do a good job. They're going to face Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat again, who ate their lunch on the interior when they played here at NRG Stadium. And I know it's going to be a shuffled, rejiggered interior of the offensive line with Titus at left guard, Jared Patterson at center. And it looks like Juice Scruggs at right guard is what it sounds like. Don't care. Like, I don't care who's in that mix in the middle. Look, Juice and Titus were both in the lineup the first time. They're different positions, but they were in the lineup the first time these two teams played. Show some pride, man. Show some freaking pride and put up a better performance this time than you did last time. So the O-line, you know, when D'Amico talks about wanting to get the taste out of their mouths from the Baltimore game and had them experience doing some good things here, build some confidence, some momentum. I think the offensive line is the position, along with C.J. Stroud, that it's at the very top of that. I'll get to C.J. in just a second. But first, defensively, if we do care about the outcome of this game, and I do, and I'll tell you why in a minute, no big plays. The only reason they beat you last night, you had 8 sacks last time and a pick 6. And the only reason that you lost that game, or the biggest reason you lost that game, Texans, is because you gave up a 38-yard touchdown to a guy with 6 names, and you gave up a 70-yard touchdown to a guy whose name I can't pronounce. Okay? I'm going to try. The first guy is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and I keep wanting to call him Russell Westbrook-Ikhine, and I'm probably mispronouncing it. The second touchdown went to Okonkwo. We just call him Chig Okonkwo, okay? You should not be having 70-yard touchdowns scored on you by a guy named Okonkwo, all right? So no big plays in this game. If there's anything you can do, Texans, keep it in front of you, prevent the big play. I think if you do that, if you make either Will Levis or Mason Rudolph, and both are supposed to play in this game, if you make either of them have to work for it, you're going to cause turnovers. They're going to make mistakes. At the very least, they're going to kick field goals instead of score touchdowns if they do make it down into the red zone. So make them work for it. None of these big plays to no-namers, okay? Wasn't even Calvin Ridley you're giving up that play to. Or even I'd have settled for Tony Pollard. Kidding me? Nick Russell Westbrook-Ikhine? All right, that's number three. Number four, yes, C.J. Stroud. And I think this is just a question more than it is a demand or an observation, but I'm curious how much C.J. Stroud plays in this game. C.J. has implied that they have a plan, as has D'Amico. D'Amico's been very vague. You know, a lot of we're going to see how the game goes, which tells me there is a plan to yank C.J. Stroud. If his plan were to play C.J. the whole game, he would have said that. So they're going to see how the game goes. I put the over-under to Seth on the show today at 2.5 for the number of possessions that CJ plays. He took the under. Seth thinks it's going to be treated like a preseason game where if they have a nice touchdown drive on the first drive, get them out. If they don't, play a second drive. And if they don't then just, okay, we'll live to fight another day. We'll see you in a week at the wild card round. And I tend to think that's what it's going to be too. Look, if CJ's banged up, it might be malpractice to put him out there. If he's got any sort of AC joint or shoulder thing going on, and you have Tavondre Sweat land on him, and then your postseason's over. So I'm very skittish about playing CJ at all in this game, but it sounds like he's going to play. How much is a huge question in this game, I think, especially considering how well Tennessee got after CJ and got after that offensive line back in week 12. So that's a big one for me. I'll be nervous the entire time that CJ Stroud is out there, and I'll be relieved when he sits on the bench. Now, I do want them to win this game because the Texans currently, oh, and this is can number 5. I don't know if I opened a can for CJ, but if there you go. The streak, the Texans have won 10 straight in the AFC South on the road. This goes back to David Culley's season in 2021. And Davis Mills has been the starting quarterback in a few of those. You know, 3 of them were in 2022. Those were Lovie Smith's only 3 wins in 2022 were wins on the road at Jacksonville, 13-6, at Tennessee, 19-14 was the final score there. And then obviously the game in week 18 that they beat the Colts and everybody was up in arms because they lost the number one overall pick. Those are the only 3 wins of Lovie Smith's Texans coaching career were 3 road wins in the AFC South. Now, granted, a big reason why they've been able to win so many games on the road in the AFC South is the AFC South has been a dog shit division during this footprint of time. Nevertheless, just the mere fact that at least two of those seasons, the Texans were part of the shittiness of the AFC South, and B, just the sheer fact that, like, bad teams, or I should say good teams have a hard time putting together a 10-game winning streak on the road in their division at any time, even if the rest of the division's horrible. Division games are, you know, they're as close to throw the record books out as you get in football and in the NFL, at least. And, you know, lo and behold, here we are, and the Texans have a 10-game winning streak. I need this to continue. This is the anomaly that I need. I need this to at least go into next season, 2025. So do me that service. Because so the win, that winning streak, and then not wanting to get swept, and then winning 10 games. I think there are a lot of optic things with getting a win here it feels a lot better being 10-7, not getting swept by the Titans and having an open-ended 11-game road winning streak than being 9-8, swept by the Titans and the streak is over, right? I mean, that feels like a pretty big difference. Damn, I'm almost talking myself into playing CJ for the whole fucking game. So there you go. That's number five. Number six, prediction time. Texans 23, Titans 16. I have no idea what to think of this game, so I'm going to be positive about it. Texans are a one-point favorite in this game. I've been horrible at predicting Texans games against the spread this year. I've been very good straight up. I've been horrible against the spread. So take that for what it's worth. Although I was spot on with my Ravens pick, I tell you. Spot on. I said 31-17 Ravens. I got half the score exactly right. I wish I'd known the Texans were only going to score two instead of 17. All right, so there you go. That's my prediction right there. There's your pregame six-pack. A reminder, if you want to email the show, HOUmailbag@gmail.com. If you want to subscribe, I would love that. Click the subscribe button so you get the podcast wherever it is that you go. So let's get a win here in week 18, and then it's on to the playoffs, man. That's going to be a fun week of podcasting with y'all next week. Looking forward to the mailbag, looking forward to breaking down this game, which I will do on Sunday after it's all over. We'll know what the schedule looks like for the playoffs by then, by Sunday night, so we'll break down. If I had to predict, I would guess the Texans are going to be back in their old Saturday afternoon parking spot. But there's an outside chance they could play on Monday night. The Monday night game is a 4-5 seed game. Last year, it was Tampa Bay and Philly, 4-5 in the NFC. This year, the 4-5, we don't know even know who it's going to be yet. It's going to be the winner of the NFC South, likely Tampa Bay, again, hosting either Detroit or Minnesota. So that one may get a little more, especially if it's Detroit, might get a little more attention nationally. But who knows? If it's the Steelers going against the Texans, Steelers are a big draw on TV, so we'll see. I think if it's Chargers Texans, that baby is going to be on Saturday afternoon. Set your watch to it. All right, big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting the podcast out to all of you. All of you for listening. Happy New Year. We're here. It's 2025. Let's fucking go, man. All right. Appreciate all of you tuning in. Tell a friend, share the podcast. And until this weekend, we will see you. Have a great weekend, everybody.